Have you ever wondered what happens when passion collides with revenge? Mia Knight's Bitter Heat takes readers on a scorching journey through the wreckage of a marriage destroyed by secrets, ambition, and family legacy. This dark romance has captivated readers since its release, becoming a book talk sensation with over 50 million views under its hashtag. Celebrities like Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon have publicly praised its intense portrayal of toxic relationships, with Witherspoon even optioning it for her production company. Beyond its commercial success, the novel has sparked important conversations about power dynamics in relationships, making it both entertaining and thought-provoking. As you dive into this world of wealth, betrayal, and irresistible chemistry, prepare to question where passion ends and obsession begins. 5 years after their divorce, Jasmine finds herself trapped in a Colorado hospital corridor with her ex-husband James Roth, a man she never expected to see again. Their chance encounter in the sterile, fluorescent-lit hallway ignites a powder keg of unresolved emotions. When Roth physically restrains her, his fingers wrapping around her wrist with familiar possessiveness, demanding answers about why she left him, the chemistry between them proves as powerful as their mutual resentment. His touch sends electric currents through her body, even as anger floods her veins. Despite her resistance and attempts to maintain professional distance, a savage snowstorm forces them to shelter together at a remote cabin nestled in the mountains. The small mountain town of Pine Ridge lies deserted as Roth navigates his black Range Rover through the intensifying blizzard. Jasmine huddles against the cold window, watching fat snowflakes obscure the windshield, lamenting her impulsive trip to visit her father's old friend, Kaya. Though she saved Kaya's life by rushing her to the hospital after finding her collapsed from a heart attack, any hope of finding peace about her father's death has vanished with Roth's unexpected appearance. The same man who once promised her the world now represents everything she lost. Their marriage had been brief but intense, a whirlwind romance that consumed them both. Jasmine had sacrificed everything for him, family connections, her ancestral birthright, and even Marcus, her childhood sweetheart turned fiancé. Once madly in love, believing Roth was her soulmate, she now views him as a destructive force that scattered her carefully planned life to the winds like autumn leaves. As they navigate treacherous mountain roads covered in black ice, Roth's calm control behind the wheel both reassures and infuriates her, reminding her of how he always maintained perfect composure while her world crumbled. At the isolated cabin, with power lines down and temperatures plummeting below freezing, they're forced into uncomfortable proximity. Their heated exchanges reveal old wounds festering beneath superficial scars. Roth believes her father was a manipulative con man who never changed, while Jasmine desperately defends the only parent she had left. The tension escalates dramatically when Roth reveals he knows her secret identity as best-selling author Thalia Crane, having meticulously read all four of her novels, thinly disguised accounts of their tumultuous relationship that include intimate details of their passionate sex life and private moments. "You wrote about us," he says, his voice dangerously soft, dark eyes boring into hers across the candlelit room. "About me. Every secret, every touch, every promise we made in the dark." This revelation leaves Jasmine horrified and vulnerable, her carefully constructed walls crumbling. It sets the stage for a night where hatred and desire become indistinguishable, as they surrender to their overwhelming physical connection while their emotional wounds continue to bleed. The howling wind outside mirrors their internal turmoil as past and present collide in a storm of recrimination and raw need. In the isolated mountain cabin, surrounded by darkness and falling snow, years of carefully maintained restraint crumble between Jasmine and Roth like a house of cards. Their physical connection ignites with a familiar intensity that frightens them both, their bodies remembering a choreography their minds have desperately tried to forget. Throughout the long night, they move through increasingly passionate encounters, each touch peeling back layers of their complex history. The cabin's rustic interior becomes a confessional space. Between tangled sheets and shared breaths, they exchange raw truths that daylight would never permit. Roth's fingers trace old scars on her skin as he whispers, "You feed my demons," a rare admission of vulnerability from a man known for his iron control. Jasmine's reply cuts deep, "You created mine." Her words hang in the air, acknowledging how profoundly he's shaped her life's trajectory. During quieter moments, Jasmine reveals the full impact of their past. Her arranged marriage to Ford had been more than a business arrangement. It represented stability, family honor, and a clear future. She'd been at peace with it until Roth stormed into her life, making her question everything she'd accepted. The aftermath of their affair and her broken engagement created a devastating domino effect. Her father's decades-long business partnership with the Baldwins crumbled, leading to financial struggles that affected both families for years. The harsh morning light brings more than just regret. When Jasmine casually mentions their lack of protection, Roth's dismissive shrug triggers alarm bells. His casual revelation about getting a vasectomy during their marriage without a single discussion hits her like a physical blow. The betrayal cuts deeper than mere physical intimacy. It represents a fundamental breach of trust. "You never wanted children with me," she realizes, her voice cracking with dawning comprehension. "You made that decision for both of us." The words taste like ashes in her mouth as years of hints and evasions suddenly make terrible sense. This unilateral decision about their future becomes a perfect crystallization of their marriage's fatal flaws. Roth's pathological need for control, his casual disregard for her desires, his fundamental inability to view her as an equal partner. The revelation triggers something primal in Jasmine. She launches herself at him, fists flying, raw emotion overwhelming reason. He restrains her easily, his physical dominance serving as yet another reminder of the power imbalance that had always existed between them. The drive to the hospital unfolds in glacial silence, with Jasmine wrapped in defensive dignity and Roth radiating dangerous tension. Upon arrival, they find Kaya in her hospital bed, her shock at seeing her son revealing volumes about their relationship. Jasmine watches the interaction with new eyes, finally understanding the strange undercurrents she'd sensed during their marriage. Kaya's barely concealed fear of her own son adds another piece to the puzzle of James Roth, a man who inspires terror in those who should love him most. This revelation leaves Jasmine wondering just how much of her ex-husband's true nature she had missed during their marriage, and what other dark secrets lie beneath his carefully controlled surface. Against her wishes, Jasmine finds herself on Roth's private jet returning to New York, the city she'd fled 3 years ago. The luxurious G650 does little to calm her nerves as memories of their shared past threaten to overwhelm her. The paparazzi ambush them immediately at Teterboro Airport, their camera flashes creating a blinding storm as they bombard them with questions about her father's inheritance and Roth's unexpected return. Inside her Chelsea apartment, a sanctuary she'd carefully curated to erase memories of him, their physical connection proves impossible to deny. The familiar electricity between them leaves her trapped between visceral hatred and undeniable desire. At Hennessy Tower, the gleaming testament to her family's empire, Jasmine reunites with her sisters Colette and Ariana in the penthouse conference room, where they'd spent countless Sunday dinners with their father. The tension crackles as they confront her about being photographed with Roth, their faces a mix of concern and suspicion. Her sisters, both polished executives in designer suits, represent everything she'd rejected about the Hennessy lifestyle. During an awkward family dinner at Colette's Upper East Side townhouse, Jasmine finds solace in connecting with her niece Emma's latest art project and helping nephew James with his math homework, grateful for the excuse to avoid her sister's pointed questions about business matters. "He left you everything," Colette says later that evening, her voice tight with emotion, fingers clenched around her water glass. "Everything that wasn't already promised to us. The London properties, the art collection, the foundation, all of it." The revolution leads to an unexpected breakthrough when Colette and Ariana produce identical cream-colored envelopes, their father's final letters explaining his decision. They reveal they know about her secret identity as best-selling romance author Thalia Crane, a revelation that makes Jasmine's hands shake. Their father had promised to take that secret to his grave, yet somehow thought this posthumous disclosure would help heal the rift between his daughters. "You were the only one who could stand up to him," Colette admits through tears, one hand protectively cradling her pregnant belly. "The only one he respected. While we were busy trying to be perfect, you were brave enough to be yourself." The sisters share a raw moment of grief in Colette's library, surrounded by first editions their father had collected. Colette, normally so composed, breaks down completely while confessing she wouldn't have had the strength to be with their father through his final days as Jasmine did. This reconciliation offers Jasmine a moment of peace, though it shatters when her phone buzzes with a news alert announcing that Roth Industries has relocated its global headquarters back to New York, ensuring their paths will continue to cross in the city's elite business circles despite her best efforts to avoid him. The family dynamics reveal how deeply the Hennessy legacy has shaped all three sisters, though in dramatically different ways. While Colette and Ariana embraced the corporate world their father built, becoming formidable executives in their own right, Jasmine rebelled by pursuing writing under a pseudonym. Yet all three remain bound by their father's influence even after his death. Their reconciliation suggests that perhaps their father's final manipulation might lead to healing rather than further division, though the shadow of Roth's return threatens to complicate everything. 4 years earlier, Jasmine sat mortified as her father Maximus revealed he had read her explicit novels written under the pen name Thalia. When he offered to help with her publishing career, she firmly refused, insisting she needed to succeed on her own. Maximus agreed to help with her divorce from Roth on the condition that she visit him regularly, revealing he'd had two strokes and retired. "You have more of me in you than I thought," he told her, after reading her work, a rare compliment that suggested newfound respect despite his gruff exterior. 5 years before the present day, Jasmine confronted Roth in his London penthouse about his wealth disparity, insisting she didn't care about money. Looking out over his luxurious Knightsbridge view, he complained about her father undermining his business connections before delivering a devastating blow. "Some days, I wish I never laid eyes on you, and I'm going to make your father pay." Left alone after he departed for a meeting, Jasmine realized she had married someone as ruthless as her father, a man who saw her as disposable. She discovered he'd kept his lavish London life completely separate from her, never inviting her to join him despite her graduating a year earlier. As she fled the penthouse, the apologetic building manager revealed another painful truth. The staff didn't even know Roth was married. 7 years in the past, Jasmine confronted Roth in her apartment after he forcefully took her from campus. She explained that her father threatened to cut Roth out of the Langdon deal if she didn't break up with him. As she recounted her father's cruel words, Roth comforted her and unexpectedly proposed marriage, encouraging her to follow her dream of writing rather than pursuing business studies to please her family. "Let me handle everything," he promised. "Your father will come around eventually." Overwhelmed with hope for freedom from her family's expectations, Jasmine accepted his proposal, unaware that this decision would set in motion events that would ultimately destroy them both. These flashbacks reveal the complex history between Jasmine, Roth, and her father, a toxic triangle of power, control, and manipulation that has shaped their present circumstances in ways none of them could have predicted. Now living at her father's estate following his death, Jasmine struggles with severe writer's block on the fifth book in her best-selling series. Despite her financial success and improved relationships with her sisters, she feels creatively paralyzed by the pressure to please fans while staying true to herself. Her literary dilemma is interrupted when she receives urgent messages from her sisters. At Colette's penthouse, she discovers both sisters in distress, with Colette in tears. The pregnant sister reveals she made poor investment decisions that forced her to sell shares of Hennessy & Co., which Roth has secretly acquired, giving him controlling interest in their family company. "He won't even meet with me," Colette says, desperation evident in her voice. "He's going to destroy everything Dad built." Despite Colette's attempts to schedule meetings, Roth has refused to see her. Desperate to save the family legacy, Jasmine offers to buy back the shares with her inheritance money and agrees to speak with Roth on their behalf, a decision that will entangle her once again with the man she's tried so hard to forget. When she meets with Roth, she offers to pay double what he paid for the Hennessy shares, but he flatly refuses. As tension builds, he reveals his true motive: revenge. 7 years ago, her father destroyed him, and now he's back to put the Hennessys in their place. Despite Jasmine arguing that her sisters are innocent, he remains unmoved, cryptically saying he hasn't decided yet what to do with Hennessy & Co. When Jasmine prepares to leave, Roth suggests he might negotiate if she gives him what he wants, crudely referencing their time in Colorado. Devastated, she leaves and lies to Colette about having another meeting scheduled, unable to admit her failure. The weight of her family's expectations once again falls squarely on her shoulders, forcing her to consider what price she's willing to pay to protect her sisters and their father's legacy. The situation worsens when Colette is rushed to the hospital with dangerously high blood pressure, her premature labor triggered by stress over the business situation. Seeing her sister's desperation, Jasmine makes a devastating decision. She'll offer herself to Roth in exchange for her family's business interests. After making her decision, Jasmine calls Roth to propose her terms, that he return controlling shares to her sisters and never target them again in exchange for her compliance with his desires. He refuses to discuss specifics over the phone, insisting they meet in person. Determined to protect herself, she demands a written contract specifying the arrangement's duration. When they next meet, Roth presents her not with the expected arrangement, but with a prenuptial agreement, shocking her with his proposal of marriage. He insists they need to present a united front rather than skulking around secretly. His terms? 1 year of marriage, after which she receives a generous severance, and he promises not to go after Hennessy & Co., even offering to help Colette restore the company's reputation. "This isn't about sex," he tells her. "It's about appearances." Despite her protests about needing to stay at her father's estate to write, Roth is adamant she'll live with him. Their negotiation is interrupted by an urgent call. Colette is having her baby. At the hospital, Jasmine awkwardly explains Roth's presence to her suspicious sister Ariana, claiming they ran into each other at a shop. Later, finding Roth alone in a waiting room, Jasmine negotiates additional terms. She wants vacation time away from him, insists he never call her demeaning names, and questions the necessity of marriage versus dating. Roth maintains marriage is the only convincing option and promises to honor their agreement regardless of personal conflicts. When she reluctantly agrees, Lyle interrupts them, furious at seeing them together. Roth announces they're getting married within weeks, shocking both Jasmine and her brother-in-law. After Lyle demands to speak with Roth alone, Jasmine returns to her sisters and reveals her engagement, fabricating a story about their relationship rekindling in Colorado. Though skeptical, her sisters offer their support, with Ariana suggesting Roth must truly love her to help their family. Jasmine doesn't correct this misunderstanding, allowing her sisters to believe in a romance that's actually a business arrangement, another sacrifice she makes to protect them from the truth about Roth's vendetta. As wedding preparations accelerate, Jasmine feels increasingly trapped. Roth insists on a proper ceremony at Tuxedo Park, despite her protests about the appearance of marrying so soon after her father's death. He reveals his staggering wealth. For every 100 million she has, he has 10 billion, and insists on giving her 100 million after a year of marriage, though she claims she doesn't want it. When meeting with attorneys to discuss the prenup, Roth's aggressive lawyer Mason insults her and implies she should be grateful for Roth's offer. Jasmine refuses to sign and walks out, temporarily asserting her independence. Later, Roth's assistant Sarai visits to discuss wedding plans, enthusiastically asking about themes, flowers, and the guest list. Despite her reluctance about this fake wedding, Jasmine plays along. On the wedding day, Kaya arrives unexpectedly and pulls Jasmine into the library with an urgent warning. "Are you marrying him of your own free will?" She reveals disturbing information about her son, that he lacks empathy, according to psychologists, has always been cold, and is a master strategist who waits years before making moves. He will ruin you, Kaya warns, her eyes filled with genuine fear. When Roth interrupts, the tension between mother and son is palpable. Despite Jasmine's protests, Roth has his security escort Kaya back to the airport. Shaken, Jasmine confronts Roth about his mother's warning, but he deflects, saying, "I'm not going to hurt you, and I'm the same man." When she tries to pull away, he ominously states, "There's no going back." The arrival of Jasmine's family interrupts the confrontation, and she's whisked away for wedding preparations. In a daze, she submits to hair and makeup while internally panicking. Just before the ceremony, Roth confronts her alone, sensing her hesitation. When she tries to mention Kaya's warning, he dismisses it venomously and forces an intimate encounter to reassert his control. "You're in too fucking deep," he tells her, as he deliberately brings her to the edge of pleasure without release. Though conflicted, Jasmine takes his extended hand, acknowledging she's in too deep to turn back now. The wedding proceeds, binding her to a man she both desires and fears, a man with secrets dark enough to make his own mother warn against him. The newly married couple's wedding night begins with tension, as Jasmine calls their marriage an expensive charade. When she demands answers about Kaya's warning, Roth avoids explaining, focusing instead on their physical connection. He tells her his mother called him a monster and tried to have him institutionalized, adding that Jasmine accepted him when no one else did. Their power struggle continues as she declares, "Emotionally, you have no power," to which he responds, "I'm going to break you." Days later, Jasmine discovers a letter and disc from her father that she had hidden. When Roth finds her with these items, he forcibly takes the letter, reading it despite her protests. Enraged by its contents about blackmail, Roth burns the letter in the fireplace and smashes the disc. When their housekeeper, Thea, admits to delivering these items, Roth grabs her by the throat, threatening violence. The family rushes in, horrified by the scene. Lyle confronts Roth, who reveals Maximus blackmailed him, which is why he only returned after her father's death. Despite Lyle's attempts to take Jasmine away, she insists they leave without her, recognizing that she's made her choice and must now live with the consequences. Alone with Roth, Jasmine confronts him about his secrets, asking if he committed murder. He responds coldly, "You'll never know," and reminds her she's bound to him for a year. When she calls him a monster, he agrees, adding, "And now you have to live with it." The novel ends on this chilling note, with Jasmine trapped in a marriage to a man whose secrets may be even darker than she imagined. The cliffhanger leaves readers wondering about the nature of Roth's past crimes, the content of her father's letter, and whether Jasmine will find a way to escape, or if she'll be consumed by the bitter heat of their toxic relationship. Throughout this dark romance, Knight explores themes of power, control, family legacy, and the thin line between love and obsession. The complex characters and their morally ambiguous choices create a story that's as thought-provoking as it is passionate, leaving readers eagerly anticipating the next installment to discover whether Jasmine and Roth will find redemption or destruction in each other's arms.